Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spark Radio Show, filled with strategies, possibilities, actions, resources, and knowledge that may be the spark of a better solution to ignite a positive change in your life. The number to call if you have questions for Melanie or any of our guests is area code 347-215-8390. Now, here's your host, Ms. Melanie.
Well, hello and welcome to, or welcome back to Spark Radio. I am your host, Ms. Melanie, and as always, it is my pleasure to spend some time with you. I'm very grateful that you're investing the valuable minutes of your life to learn some sparks that could be the solution to that positive change in your life. If you're a regular listener and you caught last week's show, talked about some parenting strategies, got a chance to apply some of those or share them with others in your life. Hopefully you've observed some good results. And one of the themes I was thinking about from last week was the idea of accentuating the positive and eliminating the negative. And what happens when we decide we want to focus on positive outcomes and success doesn't mean that we ignore the negative. I'm participating in a leadership institute, and in our first session, one of the tools that we talked about was appreciative inquiry and how the focus of questions in appreciative inquiry are designed to help focus on success, the factors, the components of success, how to recreate the success. So even if there was something that didn't go quite right, went less than stellar, the focus is, and what would that success have looked like, and how would we create that success? It puts our brain in a different state for solving problems. And regular listeners may have heard me say that people who are optimistic actually have more blood flow to the problem-solving area of the brain, the frontal area of the brain. And so it doesn't mean it's all Pollyanna sunshine. It does, though, mean that we choose that positive perspective. And doing the same with our children or the children in your life to reinforce what's going well. Because very often the first thing we attend to is what's going wrong, what's not up to our standard. And I don't know about you, but I would much rather have someone talk with me about what's going well, how to improve things, than telling me what I messed up, what I didn't do right. So, you know, how excited are you to have those conversations when you know that's the first thing or maybe the only thing, the only feedback you get is about when you mess up. And so sometimes you need to be your best ally and to get that voice in your head on track to be your biggest fan, your biggest cheerleader, to support you rather than to be your loudest critic or your biggest defender about making excuses around about how it's everybody else outside of yourself. And so tonight we're going to take that theme of accentuating the positive and apply that to some different areas of our lives. I was thinking also in talking to several clients this past week that when people think about me, there are several phrases that come to mind. And PMA, positive mental attitude, is right up there on the list. The power of PMA, that for most of us, that positive mental attitude is an asset. As I said, leads to positive, more positive problem solving. and allows us to activate our reticular activating system, our RAS, in the direction of what we want, what we're seeking, what we're working for, what we desire, rather than setting that radar system up for what we don't want. Spring in the Midwest United States often brings with it a time of colds and congestion and, well, yes. So I do apologize for the pauses where I'll be clearing my throat, and so it won't be quite so aggravating as you listen to this segment. And so we're talking about accentuating the positive. And that's one of the hats in the six thinking hats. And looking at things from a variety of perspectives, positive is one of them. And we often forget that. We forget the value of looking at what's going right. And do you spend some time every day accentuating the positive? Love that song. And it's used in the video for Well Done, the book, and then the training video. It's a great, great song to, I would encourage you to Google it and enjoy it. Accentuate the positive and eliminate the negative. It's a great mantra to have, as is PMA. And right next to that, as far as phrases, people would tell you, I say often, and if you're a regular listener, you may have heard some of these. The power of the pink elephant, which allows you to put a positive focus on programming that reticular activating system. That you want to focus on what you do want rather than what you do not want. And the power of the pink elephant works like this. If I were to tell you, do not, under any circumstances, even for a split second, see in your imagination, see in your mind's eye, a pink elephant. Do not see a pink head. Do not see a pink trunk. Do not see big, pink, floppy ears. How successful were you at not seeing that pink elephant? And the majority of people will see the pink elephant, even if just for a split second, before it turned purple, or chartreuse, or green, or before it became a hippopotamus, or a turkey, or whatever animal you changed it to. Our brain has a challenge with negations or nots. It's hard to visualize a not situation or a not image. If I asked you, for example, to see yourself not sitting, very often you'll start seeing an image of you sitting and then you'll change that to standing, jumping, swinging, lying on the floor, hanging from a tree. But we start with not sitting. And sometimes when we are uncertain of what we would like, or when we know what we do not want to have happen, starting there is okay. And then you reframe it, spin it in the direction of what you want. If you do not want to be stressed on your way to work anymore, what do you want? Several years ago with a client, she had about a 30-minute commute in a smaller Midwestern city, and she would get so angry at people who were taking their time, you know, these people who are older, and she had all these stories about they were just going to go meet for coffee, and then these other people like her who had to get to work, and she got herself worked into a very intense negative emotional state. And as we were talking about this, we talked about the possibility of what if you told a different story about those other drivers? You know, maybe they were distracted because they just got bad news. What if you smiled at that other driver and waved? Because the only person who was suffering was her. She was the one with the higher blood pressure and the headache and the negative feelings. They were fine. So she tried that in the week between our meetings, and she said she was amazed at how much differently she felt when she told a different story. And so it started out with her talking about what she did not want anymore in her life, and we switched that to what she did want. She wanted a calmer drive to work in the morning. So we focused on what she could control about that to be more calm. And sometimes, yes, it does help to have an outside voice and an outside perspective. Which another phrase that people often will hear me say is, it's hard to see the forest for the trees. When you're in it, you can see the trees in front of your face. Very challenging to see the whole forest. So when you have that outside voice, that coach, the mentor, the trusted friend, the accountability partner, they can give you that perspective, looking from the outside in. And so that becomes another way to accentuate the positive, is to get that outside perspective, because sometimes we don't see the positive. We're unable to see it for the negative funk that we're in, or the limited perspective of only seeing the options from our experience. And maybe the only options that we know about are less than desirable. So getting that other perspective, you know, it's like, and I've had people call me and say, Melanie, help me. This is what's happening. I don't see anything positive here. And so having that, you know, well, what about this or this or this? And hopefully in offering a lot of different possibilities, there's one in there that they can go, ah, that's it. That's a way I can look at this positively. And then look for other options. So the goal then is to be able to see both the forest and the trees. That's a newer phrase. So those, my listeners who were students and clients of mine with the Upward Bound program years ago, learning to see the forest and the trees is a newer phrase that they wouldn't be familiar with. It's interesting how as we work to develop new strategies, new approaches, make changes, we need to be patient in that change process. Give yourself permission to be a little shaky on your feet with it, because the first time you got up, you probably didn't walk across the room like you were walking down a runway. You probably stumbled, fell. And anytime we try something new, there's a period of discomfort with that. And so if you're thinking about changing the way you're thinking, about opening yourself up to other possibilities, get ready for discomfort. And get ready for some challenge coming from that amygdala, wrong brain function. The amygdala is like the smoke detector in your brain, and it's going to fire off the warning when you're trying to make a big change. And sometimes what we think is a small change, really, from the perspective of our brain, is upsetting the apple cart. So give yourself permission to be playful in the process, to get some good coaching, great support. Successful people, CEOs, great leaders, great athletes, all have coaches. So you can try to do it alone if you'd like to. But why, is my question. When you could enjoy the support, the encouragement, the experience, and the perspective of someone else. someone who can help you see how to accentuate the positive. And kids can be great at helping you see how to accentuate the positive. Because even though when something goes wrong in the life of a child, it can seem catastrophic for a few minutes. And then they focus on the joy of the moment, the now. So if a child falls and maybe bumps his knee, or there's a disagreement about a toy and someone takes the doll from the girl and she's crying, it's only for a few minutes until they're distracted or until their attention goes to something different. And once their attention goes to something different, then they're just excited about right now. And as adults, we forget that we can do that, that we can shift that quickly. In Be the Zebra, a seminar that I have about choosing your stress and strategies to do that, the focus is on, the title actually is based on from the book, Why Zebras Don't Get Ulcers, by Robert Sapolsky. And he titled it that way because animals are focused in the moment. Human beings have the blessing and the curse of being able to remember past events and project forward to possible future outcomes or future events. And as a result, we create, more often than not, negative, stressful outcomes in the future. And unfortunately, I can't remember who said it right now, but the thought of, if you're going to spend time and energy creating an elaborate future, why not make it a good one? Maybe it was Mark Twain. But the idea that if you're going to imagine an outcome, make it a positive one. Visualize the success. Feel the success. Put your attention on the positive. Now, my husband for years would say, well, but if I put my attention on the positive and then I don't achieve it or it doesn't happen, then I'm disappointed and I feel bad. So I'd rather, he said, just not get myself so excited. Well, living with me for as many years as we have been together, which, oh my gosh, we're approaching, let's see, we have to stop and think, because it was 1975 when we met. Holy moly. So over 30 years. And we, over the course of time, we learned from one another. And he began to see some benefit in focusing on better outcomes, using visualization, as he heard me teach and train and coach the concepts and to live them too. He's come to be more understanding of the value of doing that. Now, he would still say he's a pessimist, probably. And honestly, I'm a pessimist by birth and an optimist by choice. My first response in a situation is negative. And my goal is to spend as little time there and to get as quickly to a positive perspective as possible. And so anybody can learn to accentuate the positive. If you're a little skeptical, you can check out Martin Seligman's book, Learned Optimism. And if you'd like to learn how to do this and to help your employees, your staff, your company, or just other relationships in your life, to focus on the positive and to enjoy the benefits of helping to teach and train or coach using those principles that are used in training killer whales. It's accentuate the positive. You reinforce the behaviors that you want more of. and ignore the behaviors you want to go away. Sometimes they might get a little worse before they go away, but you can take a behavior to extinction from a psychological perspective by removing the reinforcement for that negative behavior. Then I've noticed that even when I am tired or I'm short with my son, and rather than saying things repeatedly to him, if I stop talking and turn and look away, much faster will he get calm and approach me and apologize or ask what's wrong or switch his state, because I removed any reinforcement from that negative behavior. That's not my instinctual response, or my, I should say, learned response. But it's the response that I'm learning now works. And I have to catch myself. And if I'm getting more frustrated or irritated or angry or annoyed or any of those negative emotions, I realize that I'm the one who can change my response, and my response will help him to shape his behavior. Or to choose his behavior. Excuse me, I'm helping shape it. And you can do that with yourself, with training and practice, learning strategies to help you re-language, or to have that coach or accountability partner that can develop some, help you develop some good positive reinforcements to accentuate when you make good choices around your health, to eliminate negative. And so often, I'm talking with Lynette, we reward ourselves with food, and not always healthy food either. And even for people on a diet, you know, when they reach a goal, they go out and splurge with bad food, bad being unhealthy food. And so what if you could accentuate your success in a different way and more often, to find something you enjoy, that it doesn't have to cost money, doesn't have to be a physical thing at all. Sometimes it's just listening to music from your childhood, treating yourself to a connection, whether it's by phone or by, you know, letter. My mother shared with me that my niece, her granddaughter, is studying in England, and she wrote my mother a letter, and she can't remember the last time she physically wrote a letter, put it in an envelope, and sent it. Very different experience. And the experience of writing positive words and sending it, writing a thank you note to someone, write a thank you note to yourself. Okay, sounds kind of weird, I know. However, when was the last time you thanked yourself for something? Or thanked your body for working for you, or your mind for functioning well, and feeling gratitude for that? That's accentuating the positive, the things that you want to repeat. That voice in our head, wow, we are real good at criticizing ourselves, berating ourselves. You know, most of us are walking around with that board of director in our head that really needs to be fired because they're not helping. And then that voice in our head that puts us in a negative emotional state, then we turn around, and it's hard to give our best to the people that we love when we're coming from a place of lack or negative feeling ourselves. And so sometimes we need to have that adjustment, that how do we accentuate the positive before we communicate with the people that are most important in our life. I shared the story of the man who on his way home would hang his problems and from work on a tree outside before going in to be his best self with his family. And then in the morning, he'd stop at the tree and pick up whatever was there. And he noted that usually there were fewer in the morning than there were the night before. Can you do that? Can you be in the moment like the zebra, who only reacts to negativity when there's actually a threat, that only has the physical stress response when there's a threat to life? Or we won't get into the mating stuff. That's another conversation. But even if there's a threat in the moment and the zebra reacts with all of the stress response to flee rather than be lunch for another animal. Once that threat is gone, then the zebra can go back to eating. The body systems return to normal state. And that's the way our system is designed. Our system is designed to deal with high threat and stress for only a matter of seconds, minutes on the, at the outside, I think. After that, we are pressuring our systems. And some of us live in a perpetual state of stress. We have switched our allostasis level, our level of normal. It's like running in overdrive. And so what can you do to find a few minutes in the day to breathe, to relax, and how do you do that? And where do you do that? You know, I've had clients who are busy, are business people and moms, and you know, and I've had clients who are stay-at-home moms, and there's a rule about when I am in the bathroom. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes kids have a tendency to just pop on in whenever. But the rule is when the door is closed in the bathroom, that unless somebody's bleeding, then you need to deal with it until I come out. That's the sanctuary. Where in your house do you have a sanctuary? A space that you can go to breathe, to enjoy, to relax. For some people, it's a bedroom. Others, it's a sun porch. I had a client several years ago for whom she said, this is going to sound strange, but for her, they had a walk-in closet, and that space for her was her sanctuary. And we talked about painting it a color she liked. So when she was in her sanctuary, she could enjoy the purple, or I can't remember the color that she liked. Your sanctuary can be any space, any place that you can relax, renew, re-energize, have some quiet visualization time, whatever it is. That sanctuary is that place of renewal, of safety. And what would that sanctuary be for you? Do you have a space? Sometimes a bedroom, sometimes a bathroom. Sometimes a sanctuary is sitting in a vehicle parked in a garage or a driveway. Sometimes sanctuary is a shower or a bath. It's important to find whatever space and time you can in your day to allow you to release the negative and to embrace the positive. To focus on what went well today. You know, do you ask your significant other or your children, what was the best thing that happened to you today? That's a ritual that I have with my son at night. And we talk about, you know, what was the best thing that happened or two of the best things that happened today. And what's one of the best things you're looking forward to tomorrow? Because often when you say, hey, how was your day? Fine. Or same old, same old. Or if you ask a child, what did you learn today? Nothing. If you ask, what was the best part of your day today? It puts people back in that emotional state of, wow, what went really well today? And sometimes it may be a stretch, like, you know what went really well today is I had a safe drive. That was the best part of my day. And I'm very grateful I had a safe drive. And what do you do when you realize that there was a lot of stress in your day? Do you stop? Do you find what you can be grateful for? Inhaling blessings and exhaling gratitude is a wonderful strategy to give you a few moments of regrouping, refocusing, re-energizing. Because very often the things that as human beings we stress about, 5 years from now we won't remember at a conscious level. They're small things in the grand scheme of our lives, and yet we respond to them as if they were life or death. So getting another perspective, inhaling your blessings, what are you grateful for? And writing them down. every day, morning, night, afternoon, whenever, write down three things you're grateful for. And there's a piece of research that I read that if you did that daily for 6 months, your life would change. Your life would be so different. So I'm in that challenge right now. Every day, three things I'm grateful for, and they need to be written. And to try and make them different. Could you do it? I dare you to try. Three things you're grateful for in writing. Every day. See how many days you can do it. See how many different things you can make put on your list that you would be grateful for. So do you have some strategies that will help you accentuate the positive in your life? To find that positive mental attitude by choice? To begin to use your language strategically and focus on what you do want and what you do desire? Both in your spoken word as well as that voice in your head that speaks into your life. That voice is teachable and trainable as well, and that's good news. With practice, we can train that voice. When it's saying things that are not supporting you, that's the time to push stop and to rewind and re-record what you really want. So if you find yourself coming or hear yourself with the, I am so stupid, as one of my clients commented recently, and she's gone back to school, and I just waited, and she said, I can't believe I just said that, because we've been working together for a while now, and she caught herself, and she reframed it to, I really am smart. I just need to learn a strategy to get this, because that's the truth. And so you can, but as soon as you catch yourself, you push stop, rewind, and replace it. Jack Canfield's model I learned years ago. Excuse me. Jack Canfield in his How to Have High Self-Esteem series talked about a strategy he used when that negative thought, negative language would happen. He would say, cancel, cancel, C-A-N-C-E-L, cancel, cancel, and then he would restate what it was he meant or really wanted. And you can do the same thing. You can use cancel, cancel. You can use talk to the hand. You can put the hand in the air or whatever phrase you want to use. Oops, I really mean this. And I'm even saying it out loud when you said that. You know what? Oh, what I meant to say was this instead. What I meant to say was, this is an opportunity for us to learn a new approach. Instead of, oh my gosh, we've got a problem. Subtle things like that, language is powerful. There are a number of shows I've done in the past 3 years about the power of positive language, the power of language in your life. And I'd invite you to explore those. I'm currently started the book Little Voice Mastery by Blair Singer. And so I'm sure I'll be sharing some more strategies. And I will see if I can get Blair to be a guest on the show and to share with you from his experience directly. And yes, even though I've been saying PMA since I was in my early 20s, I still look for resources and ways to continue to make that choice. And Little Voice Mastery is the newest book, the newest piece of information with strategies for how to do that. Because the better I understand, the better I can become in my life, the more effective I can become in coaching and teaching others. So, in your week ahead, what will you do to accentuate the positive in your life? Take an action on something that you heard. Find a resource. Whether it's finding some readings from W. Clement Stone, who I think originated the positive mental attitude PMA phrase, the PMA part, look at people, authors, writers like Napoleon Hill, Norman Vincent Peale, who wrote, thank you, so The Power of Positive Thinking? Norman Vincent Peale, P-E-A-L-E, is the author. There's a book, Positivity, which talks about a ratio. It's another author. But positivity, if you want to get into some statistical research around the benefits of positive language, positive thought, they actually measured it on effective team performance. And I think it's 3 or 4 positive to every 1 negative. Don't have that data in front of me. You can find it, I believe, at positivity.com. Or do Google the book Positivity. Lots of good stuff out there. Most importantly, find some joy in the moments of your days. To laugh, to smile, to notice beauty, all of those things. Because most people don't look back at the end of their life and wish they worked harder. Most people look back in their lives and wish they had spent more time on the relationships in their lives, had enjoyed their lives more, done the things they love to do. So my friends, my colleagues, my listeners, I encourage you to find that joy every day, even if it's just for a few moments in the midst of stress. Start with that. And you know what? If you smile, even when you may not feel like it, if you put the smile on your face, the nerves that you use when you smile tell your brain happy, and your brain says happy, and it has to do a chemical shift because it goes, oh, happy. So it's really true when they say smile is just fake it till you make it. If you have to put on a fake smile, put on a fake smile. And very soon after the fake smile, it will become genuine. It's another one. Try it. See what happens. When you're least feeling like smiling is the time to smile. And just notice what happens. It's very challenging to feel bad when you're smiling. So that's another strategy that you could use to find joy, to accentuate the positive in your life. We all have great gifts, great passions in our lives, and some of us have buried those. That's another show on using the passion test to discover or rediscover what brings you joy in your life, what you love to do, that you can do in service to others. Awesome if you can live your passions. If you could say, I love to go to work. I love my job. It's awesome if you can say that. And congratulations if you can. And according to the Harris poll that says 80% of people are not happy at their jobs, that's that smile of fake it till you make it. And if you're unhappy in your job, can you find a piece of it you love? Or is it a stepping stone to the next best thing? And that's what you can love about it. It's temporary. As you're preparing for, studying for, looking for that next best thing. So there's a kernel of opportunity in every challenge. There's a seed, a possibility in every problem that you face. And to find the seed of what we could do. Use appreciative inquiry to ask the what questions, to figure out the themes. What is it that makes it good? And then how can we repeat that? How can we use that information in this context to make something better? And finally, what can you do in order to celebrate your success? So often we skip that part and we don't celebrate our success. And we miss out on the opportunity to enjoy the positive progress, to enjoy the fruits of our labors. Because sometimes we can even celebrate what we've learned does not work. And maybe it's in you're cooking a recipe and, oh, not going to make that again. Or, I know the recipe says I should do it at 350, but I'm thinking maybe 325 might work better. So what is it that you can change that you might do differently and celebrate the learning? You can celebrate the lessons learned. That becomes a way to have joy as well. So have a wonderful week ahead, a positive week, a joy-filled week, as you accentuate the positive both for yourself and with the people you love. I also want to invite you to check out Saving Superwoman on Saturday mornings, live at 9 a.m. Central, 10 Eastern. Saving Superwoman is about providing a sanctuary for those wonderful women who are truly superwomen. And I share that project with Dr. Lisa Van Allen and Lynette Patterson. You can learn more, that's on Blog Talk Radio, and you can learn more about Saving Superwoman at www.savingsuperwoman.com. And you can learn more ways for me to support your joy-filled life at www.brainbonanza.com. Thank you again so much for being here with me, for sharing Spark with people you care about, and for being committed to accentuating the positive and sharing your gifts that only you can share with the world. May you choose to create great days as you continue to make a positive difference in the lives you touch. Until next time, may you inhale blessings, exhale gratitude, and stay safe.
Thank you for listening to Spark Radio with Miss Melanie. Please share this show link with those you believe would enjoy and benefit from listening. We invite you to join us for upcoming shows with special guests and more sparks. May a spark you heard ignite a positive change in your life. Good day.